Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Are you happy to be here this morning? Today is a short service. It's always a short service. But today is Father's Day, and I want to just give you 4 points about fathers. But let me tell you how I got here to this conclusion. Amen? Amen. Let us pray first. Father, thank you so very much for this morning, this beautiful morning. Thank you for holding the rain. It didn't flood down upon us. Thank you for keeping us all safe the past week, and that this morning be one more step leading us into greater and greater relationship with Jesus. Thank you so very, very much for everyone here. Bless and keep us in Jesus' name. And all the saints said amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody, I'm glad to sit by you, except the one you came with. Except the one you came with. Someone you didn't come with, I'm glad to sit by you. And next time, sit by somebody and you may be seated. You may be seated. Hallelujah. One of my great desires has been for everybody to do well. I mean, I saw somebody recently and I told her, hurry up and become rich so that we shall all enjoy your riches. Or is it a good wish? For me or for her? Who? For both of us, yes. Yes. So my real desire is, tell our neighbor, the man wants you to do well. I mean, if in my church there's no Mercedes Benz, you know. No. Oh. Huh? There's no Mercedes. Pardon? Who's? Is it? I should wait. But Gabby, what's your contribution to very soon? No, I mean, a nice church like this, no Mercedes Benz, no BMW outside. Oh, no Range Rover, no Land Cruiser. It's on the way. It's in the pipeline. Okay. So I was thinking how we should all do well, you know. And you know, when you, somebody was recently speaking about the galamsey. He said the galamsey, do you know why it's not ending? Because they are making plenty money. That's why it's not going away. They are collecting money. And one man said he can buy a car every week from the galamsey. Yeah, not far. His own dear is not far. It's Konongo here, no. He can buy a car every week. Somebody rented his house to some people who came to rent his house, and then they left because they just disappeared and they left. When they went to his house, they have dug all the house. The house is full. Oh, all looking for gold. There is plenty money somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
And it's not far, because I see it appearing. I mean, recently I saw some very, very new cars appearing around. There's plenty money. Isaiah chapter 1. There's plenty money somewhere. And it is, and I was going somewhere. And we saw buildings. Where was I going? Houses, huge houses. And I said, hey, it's not that they are building simple houses. Come on, see here. Build mansions. You know, Isaiah 1, verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. There is plenty good in this land. Oh, yes. There is plenty good. That's why I was watching, then I saw some Ghanaians have taken aeroplane. Do you know aeroplane?
Yeah.
You going to Accra, Accra is a problem to take aeroplane. Ghanaians have taken aeroplane to go to America. And they are flying from America to Canada, back to America to watch football. Where there's no guarantee Black Stars will win. But there's no guarantee. You can easily break your heart just at home in Kumasi here. How much more traveling there? But they've gone. And there's a lot of prosperity around. Amen?
Amen?
And this scripture came to me last night. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is it working? I don't even know it's working. Well, where is it? Hey, praise the Lord. If you are willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means all the prosperity that you see around you, it is possible that you will get some.
Amen.
When you see young ladies driving Mercedes-Benz, it is possible that you are the next young lady to drive a Mercedes-Benz.
Amen.
Yeah. Recently, I was just driving my car. Then somebody came to drive past me. When I checked, it was a fresh Land Cruiser, 2026. And when I say fresh, 2026. Then when I check who was driving, a young lady driving a Land Cruiser. And I said, in my church too, I have young ladies like that. Where are their Land Cruisers? Where are their Land Cruisers?
It's on the way.
It's on the way.
Yes.
Gabby is the vocal representative of the young ladies. And I said, where are all this? So, there is a lot of prosperity in our land. No doubt about it. Some time ago, I was talking to a friend and he said he was going to look for some money. And I said, you're looking for money. At that time, I had some money. So I said, how much are you looking for? He said, $4 million. Straight away, I cut myself out. Straight away, I said, no, not this is not my level. $4 million. And I asked him, as me and you are sitting in Ghana at this time, you are looking for $4 million. I mean, what? He said, it's easy. He said, it's easy. He says, no, not 4 million CDs. He said, there are a lot of people who can give it to him, but he only has to prepare his papers to go and present it. You know, So there's a lot of good in this land. Amen.
Amen.
Without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt, I've seen people building things. And then this scripture came to me. If ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of this land. Tell your neighbor, you are making a mistake. You haven't traveled to America yet. Or you haven't traveled to London yet. Oh, no, tap your neighbor. Tell him you are making a mistake. Okay. No, please tap. Have you tapped your neighbor? Yes, tap here. You haven't gone to even South Africa yet. Yeah, you are making a mistake. Because you haven't seen many other countries to compare. Look, we are not bad, oh. We are not bad. Our country, we complain. Hey, we complain. Because our eyes open. Yeah, our eyes open. We have doctors. There's a doctor here. We have doctors in their house. They're all... But we are very... Look, just cross the border on any side. You'll be happy you're a Ghanaian. Yeah, cross the border. Either east or west or north. Don't go south. South is the sea. You find that is a very, God has blessed us. God has been really good to us. So this scripture, if ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. It is that you will be, you will do well. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
It means that you will not lack money. You will have great comfort. You will be established. You will do well.
Amen.
But the question that came to me is, be willing and obedient to who? Be willing and obedient to who? And I know the automatic answer to God. And I know that at that answer, no, then it is like problem solved. But that answer to God raises another more difficult question. Because how many of us hear God's voice? How many of us can say God said? Most of us, please, excuse me, tap your neighbor, ask him, when was the last time you and God had a conversation? And what did God say that time? Some of you, 1942. Because you don't hear from God. You maybe one dream you had. Are you playing with the sound? It's changing. Maybe one dream you had, one encounter you had, you've had one time when you will say, God spoke to me. And every Christian must have at least one time when you say, God spoke to me. Otherwise, take a neighbor, I check your Christianity. If you have never, you can never say. No, please tap your neighbor or hold his shirt or say, please. Can you say God spoke to you once? Can you say? If they are looking down or looking left, say, hey, I wonder about your Christianity. How did you come here if God didn't call you? A man called you. Be careful. Be careful. You must at a certain point in your life, at least once, heard from God. Amen.
Amen.
Many of us don't continue in that vein. So this hearing from God to lead us and guide us becomes a very difficult exercise. It's very, very difficult. And what happens is most of us, number one, you are on your own, trying your best with your common sense, which is not very... No, I won't say it. No, I won't say it. But trying your best. Or number two, following the crowd around you. And there are not many of us with a good crowd around us. Many of us, the crowd you have around you are kind of people... like that. Do you know like that? Area people. I mean, if you are not correct, they are not correct. If you are educated, they are educated. Whatever you are, they are around you. So most of us, many of us, we have little to guide us into making good decisions that are going to be life-changing and to lift you out of your situation. Tell your neighbor, that is why over the past few months or years, you have not changed. That is why. That is why, and not for lack of wanting. Are you listening? Are you listening? Not that you don't want to change. How many want to change? How many want a good life with comfort, no more bills, no more stress? I'm going to Accra, I'm in a hurry. I just go to the airport, passion air. How am I going to take it? 2007. Bring it. I'll come back. China says, yeah, I'm just going. I mean, how many don't want, you don't like that kind of a life? When you go and they say, oh, petrol is now, how much is petrol? 15 cedis, 18 cedis. You say, hey, mommy, full tank, why? I don't care again. Don't you want that kind of a prosperity? You do. I mean, how many want to move out of your accommodation to a better accommodation? I don't like the smell or the boiler or the gutter or something around the area, or nobody, everybody here is happy where they live. I want a very comfortable place where when I enter it, it's like it's a castle. And I'm comfortable in my... That's what... How many want that kind of life? Everybody's hand is up. But listen, if you look carefully, you are making almost no progress towards that dream. I don't know why I've become quiet again. I should stop preaching. William, come here. It's like I want to sit down and nobody's stopping me. And I'm standing here. Then what is wrong with you? Because move. This is Ghana. You are free. You want to go and sit? Go and sit. Yeah, you want to do it. Nobody is stopping you. But you see, what you are seeing is many of us, we want something that is not, you are not being excluded from this thing. It's just that how to get there is I don't know where the place is. That's all. I don't know where I got recently. Somebody was going somewhere. He was telling me a house somewhere. I didn't know where it was. I said, no problem. When you go there, send me a location. Then I'll find the place. So you want to do something. Nobody is stopping you. So the key is find how to do it. And we have one great rule here is to be willing and obedient. To be willing and obedient. And if God is not able, are you listening? If God is not able to clearly speak to us, then the next person of leadership in our lives are our fathers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are fathers. And that is why today, Father's Day, I want to show you four things about fathers, because they are the ones who have the power and the ability to lead us forward in life. Even this message, it is both natural, secular, and spiritual. Are you listening?
Yes.
Are you listening? Children, what I'm saying, it applies even to you more, because it is both the natural and the spiritual fathers. The natural fathers are the clear ones who have the power to guide you to become something great in life. Yeah. I mean, you find that it is your father who takes you to school, it's your father who leads you, it's your father who teaches you how to tie a tie, it's your father who will do all those things for you. Now, I hope you are listening, though.
Yes.
In the event, which is a reality, that your particular father didn't do particularly well to help you to become a gentleman. Is that correct? Gentleman or a lady. If your father didn't do particularly well to help you become a proper person, your father didn't teach you how to use fork and knife, your father didn't show you how to lay a, or your mother didn't show you how to lay a bed, if you didn't have that opportunity, are you out? Is it that because my father is from a village and he himself didn't go to school? And sometimes that's why they themselves are not so strong about school, because they don't know its real value. So does that mean that for such a child whose father didn't go to any high level, that we are out? And the answer is no. Because point number one is there are many fathers. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Point number one is there are many fathers. So if you are saying, I didn't have a father, I don't have a father, please tap your neighbor and say, don't talk by heart. That I didn't have a father, my father didn't help me, my father said, no. Don't bring yourself. Yeah, because though you have 10,000 instructors or teachers in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Even basic English, is it basic English? Not core, it's core maths. It's core maths and then elective maths. But English there is basic English, or it's English. They call it English. Okay. If you have done English, you know that this means that ye have not many fathers. Means you have more than one.
Yeah.
I mean, it means, look, you have more than one. Please, take your neighbor's temperature. Do you have high fever that you can't understand this sentence? You have more than one. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear good amen.
Amen.
You have more than one father. That is what it means. So the possible explanation that my father didn't help me is removed forever out of your life. But there's a complication. Do you know what the complication is? It is the fact that we call everybody Eja. Even a total driver, you call him Eja. Any old man, you call him Eja. So we call many people father. And of those many people we call father, most of them, we don't respect them. What they say, we never do. Those who we call father, all of them, is just some, is it lip service? Or what's the word? It's just some token. Not even respect. You just say something. Oh, Eja, it is Eja. You are calling the man Eja. The man is a truck driver. You just call him Eja out of what? Respect. But you don't respect him too. Am I not? You don't like my message. It's changed there. Eh? You don't like it again. You call them father, but you don't do what they say, and they don't have any influence in your life. And the man is such an old man in the area. Who you are even asking him when you are younger, why are you so poor now? You say, I should change my message and preach about cars. No. So it has, what this thing has done, is that it has watered down our respect, not respect, our ability to obey other grown-ups in our lives. Yeah, become quiet. It has, because we call the word father, we throw it easily, left and right, everywhere. Father, father, Eja, uncle, papa, dada, wafa. I mean, even young people cry, they call them dada. And young pastors are called papa. Yeah, I mean, some young pastors say, oh, papa. Father, papa. Yeah, we have seen some young man, 22 years old, they're calling him papa. He's a university student. What has he done? But it's become so common in our environment. We call everybody papa, Aja, whatever it is. But we don't do what they say. We don't do what they say. So the power for you, are you listening, to be guided by somebody has been reduced drastically. Drastically. So that as you are sitting here, y'all look at me. As you are sitting here, likely you are leading you. Likely you are leading you. Nobody is leading you. You are leading you. Because the leaders that Bible has given us, fathers, Ephesians 6, he says, obey your parents. Those leaders God has given us, we have watered down that whole thing. Amen? And we have made it such that we are, so you see, if you ask your neighbor, very likely what you are doing, your friend is your advisor. Pastor Henry, it's not true. Caroline, very likely your friend is the advisor. Young girls trying to go and marry, they consult their classmates. Equally foolish classmates to find out who to marry. Like, oh, should I say yes? You're asking a fool if I should say yes. How? You're asking somebody who doesn't know who her wife is, doesn't know who her husband is. So Charlie, Kwesi has approached me. What should I do? No, she's the last person you should ask. There should be a father or a mother in your life who you ask about that thing. But you're going to ask your classmate. Tell neighbor that I'm sorry for you. Your madness is too high. Your classmates. No. Amen. So this morning, I want us to understand that you should get to a place where you are leadable. Amen. Not by circumstances, because circumstances in Ghana are hard. Circumstances will make you either a criminal or make mistakes. Circumstances in Ghana. Either you become a liar, you begin to, do you know Dariga? Dariga, what language is Dariga? Kululu. What language is Kululu? Aza. What language is Aza? 419, there's the Bible. Aza, it will make you an Aza man. It will make you, if you are in Ghana under circumstances, you'll be a cheater and a liar. You will learn how to do kululu, how to say yes when you mean no, or how to say no when you mean yes. How to say, I'm going. In my house, I've told them, never look at me and walk away and say, I'm going. Oh, what kind of language is this? Say, I'll be back. But you look at me, say, oh, I'm coming. And you look at me, I'm coming. And then you're going here, I'm coming. I say, what is wrong with you? Say, I'll be back. Yeah, we have become, you become, I don't know. You become something under circumstances. You will learn how to do every kind of lying and cheating. So, number one, you cannot be led by circumstances. And you cannot be led by your friends. I saw something recently, and I sent it to Pastor Ashon to see. He said, Ghana workers don't work. And I said, oh, what do you mean? Ghana workers don't work. Then I saw an article that somebody did an analysis. It says in Ghana, only 8% of people who are working are productive. The rest are just hanging on typewriter. Bishop always says it. One typewriter and 8 typists. Go to Ghana Railways. it's been non-functional for years, but they have staff. What are the staff doing? Ghana Railways. They're being paid a salary. So,
look, be serious.
Look, you cannot be led by friends, or so you have to be led by an authority figure that will lead you to Isaiah 119 to enjoy the good of the land. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So number one is there are many fathers. A father is supposed to lead you. Father's Day is a day to recognize fathers. A father is supposed to lead you. And I said there are many fathers. Number two, identify which one is for you. Because not all are for you. Some of them are not for you. Hey, if you go and find the wrong father, you one day I was somewhere with somebody, and as we're standing there, some little boy just came and held his hand. And I think the little boy didn't look up to see whose hand he was holding. So he just came and held his hand. So we said, look at something. Little boy is holding his hand, holding his finger. So we all just looked around and said, where is this? Where are his people? Before they shout and come and catch us and take us away. You know, but the little boy didn't know. I mean, he also didn't look up to see whose hand am I holding. Maybe his father was just there, then he moved away, and then he came to the nearest trousers, like his father's trousers or something. I don't know what it is. Yeah. So you have to, number two, identify who your father is. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I've almost finished. I told you I don't preach long these days. Today too is Father's Day, so we don't preach long. And verse 39. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus is... Yeah, we'll come back to Jesus next week. He's a very nice guy, but he's very able to answer questions properly. And he said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. We'll explain it. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So number one, number two is you've got to identify who is the father that you have. When you are born, doctor, when a baby is born, does he know who his father is? No, he doesn't. But he gets to know that somebody is his father. How? Over time. Yeah, I mean, when you are born, nobody comes with a label and says, Mr. Baby, this is your father. Nobody does that. But with time, the man who is always there in the midnight hour, when you open your eyes, nah, 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 somebody will appear. The one who appears is your father. Oh, you don't understand the message? Yeah, because there's no other. If your father leaves and goes away and a new man comes to marry your mother and stays with you in the night, nah, nah, that's your father. That's why some children have to be told at a certain age, please, I'm not your father. Your real father is so-so and so. I am just adopted. You all become quiet. Yeah, because That is how it is. You identify your father. Amen.
Amen.
There will be a connection. There will be something that will tie you. Are you looking at me? Something will tie you to another person, and that thing will be a bond that is real. Hallelujah. And also, those who are even adopted, sometimes they say that, I feel different. I feel different. I think it is also real that you have a feeling of somebody watching over me, somebody caring for me, somebody is on the lookout for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, number two is what? Identify your father. Hallelujah. Know of all the plenty people in your life, of all the plenty people standing around you, know which one I should listen to and which one I should just nod my head and just walk away. I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
Are you with me? And when that recognition comes, that it should let you, maybe you are not sure or something, I don't know. But when that recognition comes, I think it should make you grasp and understand and hold fast to a certain relationship that is now being formed, that from today you are my father. Hebrews 1 and verse 5. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus. You are my son. Today, I have become your father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
Do you understand what this statement means? It means that there can be a time when there should be a recognition, an acceptance, an understanding. Hello, hello, hello. Everybody's looking somewhere. Look at me, look at me. I've almost finished. I told you, I'm finishing right now. There should be a time when we will just say clearly that this is the relationship between us. This is how we relate. This is from today. I mean, when I came back to the country and I was looking for a church, my wife and I went to one church first. When we got there, we said, no, this church is upper class. It's not a good church. Then we left it. We went to another church. We said, no, this church, the atmosphere is not correct. Another church. We are looking for a church to join. Then I remembered, long ago, that KCC, Kolebu Christian Center, is now a church. They are moving at Offer Cinema, Kolebu. Let us go there and see. They said, Bishop Eddie is there. They are still there. Let us go there. I told my wife, let us go there and visit that church and see, perchance, if that one will land. So I collected my children. He was about 2 years old. You remember? He was about 2 years old, and his baby brother wasn't born yet. And we carried ourselves to found our way to Offer Cinema, Kolebu. Then we opened the gate. There was a gate at that time. Opened the gate and entered the yard. As we entered, then I saw Reverend Saki, Bishop Saki. I don't know how. At that time, Reverend today, Bishop Saki, standing with Bishop Eddie. Then we just said hi, went to the church, had a beautiful service. I said, during the service, I told my wife, this is our church. This is our church. Yeah. What? Something? No. Because you have to identify your father. So when we came out, no, we met the three. We were all standing together. Then we started talking straight away. And you see, Psalm something. It says, deep calls unto deep. Psalm 42, verse 7. You know things. Yeah. Deep calls. Yeah. Something deep in your heart. It just suddenly, I know. This is my church. So tell your neighbor, ask your neighbor, please, where is your spiritual father? And where is your, please tap your neighbor and then hold his shirt, pull their shirt, ask him, where? Have you identified him? Because who is leading you? Hey, who is leading you all this time? Huh? Oh, Priscilla, ask them. Your fathers are around, but where your father? Who is leading you? Who is guiding you? Who is helping you to take good decisions? Hallelujah. Amen. Number one is what? There are many fathers. Number two is what? Identify. Find out who is your father, okay? After identifying him, what do you do? Honor him. Honor him. Why? Because what you become, what you honor. You become what you respect. If you look at doctors, wow, look at their white coats. Hey, they are working. Medicine power there. You become one. If you are there, say, oh, policemen. Hey, I like policemen. They have power. you become one. Amen. Amen. Write this one down. You become what you honor. You become. You are either some form of it or something. You become it. If you are there, say, oh, these people cheer. I don't mind them. They are not correct. They are not. You never become one. You will never become one. So they are all bullies. They are cheats. These people, they go to school and come and hey, they are. You never do well in school. You are seeing school as an avenue for robbing you and exploiting you. No. So you become what you honor. So when now I say honor fathers, it is an attempt to give you a role model of what you can become. Amen. And a person who has taken an interest in you. You have 10,000 teachers. A teacher will just talk to you and then walk away. A teacher doesn't care if you have had 2 abortions or 3 abortions and you are in SHS 1. He doesn't care. Pardon? He doesn't care at all. But a mother, will be so worried and careful, and now anytime I see some boy's name, hey, who's this boy? Because she has now become aggressive. Teacher doesn't care. He crying, may join the parade. Because there's an open field there. Yeah. Amen. So number three is when you identify. No, I think number two is the most important. Yeah. To identify, to recognize. Jesus told them, they were saying that Abraham is our father. I'm going back to point two. Maybe I'll not finish today. Doesn't matter. Next week is still there. Okay, point three is honor him. Point four is obey him. I finished the message. Yeah, I finished it. But the key is to identify who to honor, who to obey. Yeah, that's point three. Write it down. Point three, honor him. Then what? Malachi 1:6. And then point four, and then John. A son honors his father, servant his master. If I be a father, where is my honor? Honor your father. Then look at John chapter 8, verse 49. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father. You do dishonor me. So that one there, we should honor the fathers. Ephesians 6. Number point four is obey. After honoring, obey the fathers. That is how you get the good of the land, by being willing and obedience. Obey your parents, your father. Obey him in the Lord, for this is right. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But I think the key is to identify, because there are so many people walking around who could be potential or acting as or in their place as or simply just confusing. That's all. Recently, I was talking to a friend, and he said they were in university many years ago, and there were two very good friends, and then along the way, there's no usher by the door. There's usher is on leave. Is there usher there? He's not there. Okay, there's an usher. This friend, there were two friends, and they were working together very, 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 very closely. And he said, somewhere along the line, his friend met somebody who became his spiritual father. And he said, this guy, we know him. His doctrine is not fully, he has an appeal. He is able to draw crowds, yes. And he has followers, he has a big church. But his doctrine is a bit, I cannot call names, but his doctrine is a bit funny. And this guy said, oh no, he's good. And so they were discussing, they were arguing, and he just kept like, I believe in this guy, I'm going after this guy. And then what happens is his marriage began to shake. His marriage, now marriage was always he and the wife always quarreling, disagreeing over something. And then his church began to shake. And do you know what has happened? Well, is it connected? I don't know. But this other guy who left before this guy, we buried him not too long ago, you know. And it's like when you move out to follow certain peoples, you become what they become. I don't know whether you are with me this morning. Yeah, when you follow certain peoples, you become what you honor. You become what you admire. The thing you look up to, you say, oh, I like this thing. You become that thing. It will affect you. And if the one you like is also following a devil, that devil will somehow reach his hand into your life. Yeah, that devil was somehow able to pass through the atmosphere and pass through your friend's words into your life. And he may have an agreement. You don't have an agreement with the devil. So he will walk free, and you will, like when Aaron went to build a golden calf, he walked away, and then other people died. Amen. Amen. Oh, I don't like my message again. It's changing. It's changing. This morning, I'm closing Father's Day. Identify the man that God has given you. Because Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. That is my message this morning. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. Amen. Number one, I'm now preaching. I'm sorry. Number one, willing. Willing means eager and prepared. That's willing. Many things you do, you are not willing. Willing means eager and prepared. Willing means without reluctance. Why are you not having the good of the land? Because you are failing on these points. You are failing on these points. Number one, who to obey? And then number two, you are obeying unwillingly. There is no eager. What is eager? Eager means when you have seen a dog that you have put food in front of the dog. Hey, he wants to jump and grab the food. Or you don't have dogs in your house. Or the food is always there. No, not my dog. My dog, the bowl is empty until feeding time. Then he is held back. You hold him back, then you put the food in his tray. As you are holding him back, he's almost, that is eager. Eager means I want to do this thing. I don't know whether you are with me this morning. Eager means I want to obey. I want to do this thing. But many times what is said to you, you're not eager. You're not eager. Look at your neighbor's face. Say, yeah, look at me like that. Tell your neighbor, you're not eager to obey things. Please look at, say, you're not eager. There's no strong desire about you that I want to. You are asking why I don't see good in my time. This is it. You're not eager. And then willing, without reluctance. I have no break. I have no second thought. I am cool. I am willing. I want to do. You say we should fast. I'm willing. Not that you say we should fast, eh? What time do we start the fast? What time do we close? So, is it fast for food or fast for water? So, the fast, eh? Bishop Man, Daniel fast. So, I can eat no precious. You look at the discussion we are having over the simple word, we are fasting. It's not a discussion. You're trying to see, to fast out. It's not like that. It's like a fast. Yes, you are fasting. Okay, how soon? I don't mind. Starting Monday. Monday we are starting. But you are looking for every excuse not to fast. You are not willing. And then number three is favorably disposed. I am inclined. I am inclined. I mean, when Ecuador is playing Paraguay, I don't care. I'm not inclined in any direction. I'm waiting for the winner to win. That's all. But when Black Stars are playing anybody, even Togo, anybody, I am inclined. I'm not neutral at all, even though I'm not sure how it will go. I'm not neutral at all. Are you listening to me? I'm not neutral. I am inclined. Listen. As I look at things, it's not that we'll see what will happen. No, I want this to happen. I am for this. I'm not neutral. Amen. Willing, favorably inclined. It means that. So when we say, okay, let's decide to do a crusade here. Yes, we're doing a crusade. From now on, I want to do a crusade. I'm looking for a chance. I can't wait. Not that, crusade, eh? You know, these days there are mosquitoes around, though. And then when it rains, it's become a bit muddy. And you know, sometimes I'm not too sure how the area people will see us. They may come and throw stones at us. You are already so negative to the thing. You are unwilling and disobedience. Obedience. Complying. Or willing to comply with their request. Complying. Or willing to comply. I will do what you say. That's obedience. Not what I want to do. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. I will do what you say. Obedience. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Listen. The I finished preaching. I told you this is 25-minute preaching. The introduction was longer than their preaching. If, tell your neighbor, if you want to do well, it's not likely you can lead yourself to do well. It's not likely. A few people are able to break out and become exceptionally, it's possible, a few. But it's not likely. Most of us will do well if somebody leads you on the path of this life. Hey, Priscilla, your pupils. Most of us will do well. Left to yourself, children, don't just become anyhow. Don't just move anywhere and do anything. Left to themselves. It is to be willing. This scripture is a very key scripture. To be willing and obedient. But the question is, willing to whom? And obedient to whom? And you, I think I told you last 2 weeks about obedience. If you never do anything you did not choose, all that you are doing is what I chose. There's nothing that somebody chose that I'm doing out of obedience. You are not likely heading into excellence, but you are just going to continue in a certain area, a certain place, in a certain lifestyle. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you happy you came today?
Yes.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Shall we stand to our feet? May the Lord guide us this morning to identify our fathers. Listen, everybody. Before this morning, I've already sent a message to my fathers. I've sent them Happy Father's Day. Yes. Because it is to recognize that these are people. What did Paul say? Let their oversight of you not be a bother or a labor, but with joy and with happiness. And before we close here today, everybody, tap your neighbor and say, the man is talking to you. Everybody, send a message to the fathers in your life to recognize them and even thank them. Thank them. Sometimes you never remember it. It's like, he knows. Yeah, he knows. But it's also good to say it once in a while. Amen. Amen. I want you to, as we are closing, when we close, please give us 5 minutes time to send messages to people, fathers in our lives who have led us. And some of you, maybe your father didn't try for you. Foolish person. It's your fault, not his fault. Because you don't know what pressure he was carrying at the time you appeared. You don't know that your coming broke the budget. I don't know why. No, I don't know. I don't know whether you haven't thought about it. And then he became tense and angry because of other reasons. Say, hey, he's always angry. No. He's not always angry. He's fathers are, one day we'll talk about fathers, not today. But today is Father's Day. And it's a very good day to honor our fathers. Let's pray for. And we are blessed to have a spiritual father who has built all this. We are very blessed. Since I met him, I've followed him. You may not know, but this man has the authority to discuss my career, my finances, my children, my wife, my marriage. He talks into every situation. He can wake up. I was one day going to sell something. Then he said, don't sell it. Finish. I couldn't sell it again. No, but it's mine. It's not his. But he said, don't sell it. And I said, okay, if you say so, I won't sell it. Then I said, I want to sell it again. Then I called him that I want to sell this thing. But he said, I shouldn't sell it. He says, okay, now you can sell. You see, some of you don't understand what it means to have a father. So I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl. I can take my decisions. I have a father, and I'm older than him. But I have a father because he tells me what to do. That's why next 2 weeks, 7th July, we are going to Gambia for Healing Jesus. We are going to Gambia, Healing Jesus campaign. That's where we have a chance to sit with him and just enjoy fellowship. In Ghana, it's hard to see him. Their children are too many. But in Gambia, there are fewer children. So this today, Father's Day, is a chance. And if you think back and say, I have none. It's no. Hebrews 1:5, today is a day of recognition that I have a father now. This morning, wherever you are, you want to bow your heads, you want to close your eyes, you want to say, Lord, change my life from this moment onwards. Change my life. Let my life turn around. Let my life turn
around. Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it. To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.